Hey, it's Michael.
Hey, Michael, it's Yong. How are you doing?
I am super. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, thank you.
So let's do a little bit of the basics. Where are you from?
I came from Shanghai and I go abroad to UK for a postgraduate study, and right now I'm
For postgraduate. Wait a second. So you were born and raised in Shanghai.
Yes, in Shanghai.
And you did undergrad in China.
Yes, undergrad in China and postgraduate in UK.
Okay, so what did you study in undergraduate school?
For undergraduate, I study a little bit complicated major, which is called events management and economics, which is something around events, exhibition, forum, etc.
Very interesting. Why did you decide to go to the UK for graduate school?
Yeah, that's really a good question. I was also asking myself at that time. At that time, I think the most important thing for me, particularly growing up in Shanghai and also studying in Shanghai, the important thing is I need to walk out and see what's around outside of Shanghai, outside of China. And this is why I choose to go abroad. And also, I think it's a really good opportunity to explore how people in the Western countries are doing business, how they live their life, what's the way they would take to deal with problems, deal with studies, academics, etc. So the difference and the variety is really interesting for me.
So before you went and studied in the UK, had you been traveling abroad prior?
Not yet, actually. I was just traveling within China before I went to UK.
So, but was your family really international as well? In other words, did your mom and dad travel a lot? Did your brothers and sisters travel a lot? Or were you kind of the first person in your family to leave the country and also study outside the country?
Actually, the answer is yes. I was the first one in my family to go abroad to study and also to traveling, etc. For my mom and daddy, they are a little bit like traditional Chinese people. They travel within China, and because the language is the key barrier for them at the moment, so far they haven't traveled abroad, but they are planning to, for example, like going with a tourist group, etc.
Right. So let me ask you this as well, though. Were you nervous at all? And, was the language something that you were concerned about? When I get to the UK, will people understand me? Will I understand them? Will I be able to just get by with my language skills? Did it get better when you were there?
I think, yeah, it's really interesting for me because before I went to UK, I was quite confident because in China, I think my English is okay to communicate, and I was quite confident at that time. And when I went to UK, it's okay to live, to study, to talk with friends, etc. But I think the most challenging part is the cultural part. You can talk with people in UK, but you don't really understand their culture, and you have no idea what they were watching when they were young, like the cartoons, etc. So I think it's no problem to communicate, but in the depth communication, for example, the cultural part, sometimes you just cannot understand why they were laughing at some jokes while you
Right.
don't.
Right. And how about the food? Did you find the food like really interesting when you got there as well?
Ooh, that's a good question. Fish and chips.
Only because the food in China is just so good, but it's also so
Yeah.
diverse, right? In other words, China's a big
Yeah,
country
yeah,
and the
yeah.
food choices are really diverse, yeah?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And in UK it's quite boring. Normally just fish and chips and some breads, etc. Maybe it's not of good taste actually for the Asia people.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been in London in a while, but I just found the food there to be middling, and frankly, the best food I've ever had in my whole life has been in China. So I'm just really curious what that's like. Because I find food and language are really embedded in culture, and if you think that it's hard to understand the culture, you really have to understand the food and the language first, right?
Yeah, that's a good insight.
I think. And so what did your family think when you said, I'm going to go study in the UK?
My parents always support me when whatever the decision I make. So at that time, they think if you would like to go abroad to explore, that's fine. Just make sure you bring yourself back home, and that's everything they want. So they always support me.
Right. So tell me, like, the expectations that you had before you left and then the experiences you had when they were there, how are they different?
I think it's quite different, particularly for me at that step. That's from 0 to 1, which means before that, I never went abroad. And after that, that's another story begins. So, for example, like before I went to UK, I only learned from like for some American episodes or British episodes and also television, etc. And also some friends coming back from UK. I talked with them and that's everything I have, everything I know for that moment. But after I went there, I think it's quite different. I also noticed the difference, not only between the traditional topic we say about the culture shock, the cultural difference, but I also noticed the difference for China as well, because I never realized there are so many Chinese students abroad and what their life may be in other countries. So I think that's a very interesting topic for me, and also not only for the cultural difference, but also for the development for the Chinese people and the evolution for China as well.
So when you were in the UK, did you mostly socialize with other Chinese students that were studying abroad, or did you try to mix in the other people from England and the rest of UK and the rest of Europe as well?
Yeah, I think I was like a unicorn, because normally in UK, there are two extremes for the Chinese people. Either you always stay with the Chinese people, or either you always stay with the UK people. But for me, I'm just quite different. I socialize with both group. I also work closely with our Chinese friends, and also I work closely with our UK friends. For example, like during our experience in UK, I joined one entrepreneur society, which is quite fun, and people are all British people. And we went to Nottingham for a Google Challenge student project, etc. And I think it's very interesting to see the difference and also to talk with them and to see how their ideas coming out. And that's very interesting part for me.
Yeah, it's super interesting. And you actually sound very similar to what I would do, right?
Yeah.
So when I lived in Japan, I tried to spend as much time with Japanese people as I could, but I also tried to spend time with the foreigners that were there. One of the other things that I tried to do is I tried to mix them together. So I tried to introduce my foreign friends that weren't so comfortable with Japanese people that weren't so comfortable with foreigners. And it was always a mixed bag as to how good or how badly that went. I'm wondering if you tried to do those things too. In other words, take some of the Chinese students that maybe weren't so comfortable with the UK people and then mix them with the UK people who maybe were not so interested. Did you ever try to do that? And if you did, how did that go?
Yeah, I think I did that. And also when you are touching both kind of groups of people, you can notice the difference. And also you can identify some interesting facts. So I think it's worthwhile for me to try that.
I think so. What did you study when you were there? What was your graduate degree in?
Marketing management. Very, very common major for most Chinese students, yeah.
Is it? I don't know that. But it's interesting because you did events and economics, and then you did marketing as well. So it sounds like, I don't know what you do. We'll get to that in a second, but it sounds like you're very sort of an outgoing person. You want to be like involved in the marketing side of the world, and events are a big business as well. So if you can mix the marketing with the events, it sounds really interesting. So do you feel like when you were there, it changed you personally a lot?
Yes, I think so. Basically, I think in two aspects, it really changed me. The first one is just like we talked, the culture, you identify the cultural difference, you identify the evolution for the Chinese people, the evolution for China abroad. And also the other thing I think is it really helped me to cultivate my career interest. Just like we talked about the Google project, and exactly at that time, it really nurtures my interest for digital marketing. And right now, I'm really exactly doing the marketing work right now. So it's very interesting for me to track back the source that really ignites my passion for my career, and also ignites my passion to think out of the box, etc. So, yeah, I think it's really a worthwhile journey for me.
So when you were living there, you actually did something really interesting. You used Next Step, right, to do an internship back in China.
Actually, I was the eldest. I would call myself the eldest intern for Next Step. So it was like in 2010, 8 years ago. Yeah, exactly, 8 years ago.
You're from China. Why did you use a service to find you an internship, which was essentially back at home? What was the thought process there?
Yeah, actually, it's a very interesting question here. I was an intern for Next Step. I'm not joining the internship program, but I was an intern for Next Step, the earliest intern.
Okay, now I understand. That's even more interesting. So why did you do that? And how did you find out about it?
One of the colleagues in Next Step at that time was graduated from the same university as I did. So I got a chance to interview and also to meet Jerome at that time and also to meet everyone in Next Step at that time. So I was really fascinated by all the corporate cultures and all the fun things they do, because they will receive all of those foreign students from abroad and also take them to different companies to do different internship and also to have many fascinating social life with them. So I was really fascinated at that time, and this is why I wanted to join the intern with Next Step.
That's really interesting.
So 8 years ago.
Yeah. 8 years ago. Wow. And so did you work for Next Step in Shanghai?
Yes. Yes.
Very interesting. Let's back up a little bit again to your experience when you were in the UK in grad school. Was that a 2-year program or a 1-year program?
A 1-year program.
Got it. And when you were there, right, did you feel this sense of pride? And did you feel like you were representing not just you yourself, but just China as a country as well?
I think so. It was just a matter of time when you came to feel like you belong to a group or you belong to a country. Particularly when during the graduation ceremony, I was also selected to talk on the stage about mainly about the career side, because I took the university internship program with the uni. So I was selected to talk about the internship with the uni, etc. at that time to all the audience. And that was the very first time 99% of all the audience are from UK. And I feel like it was a little bit of proud to see Chinese people are also, they are also socializing. They can also work out to find opportunities. They can also do a good job. So at that time, I think, it's a little bit of proud, but overall I think it's quite open and equal in UK, so yeah.
It is, but I guess the question really was, you know, when you live in your hometown, whether it's, you know, whether you're Chinese and you're from Shanghai or whether you're American and you're from Boston, you can have pride in your hometown, but if you never leave your hometown, there's no real way to express that pride, right? Because there's no way to show it to anybody, because everybody there is from the same place that you are. But when you leave, did you get a sense of like really where you were from that made you feel slightly different or better about where you were from than before you had left, if that makes sense?
Actually, I think that's not very strong for people living in Shanghai, because normally people in Shanghai, they are quite, how to say, diversified.
Fair enough.
They meet, they meet different people, not only different places in China, but also different places around the world.
Right,
also in Next Step, I met different people from UK, from the States, from Australia, etc. So basically, I think people are quite open-minded in Shanghai.
Yeah, it's been a big city. It's been an international city for centuries, right? So fair enough.
Yeah.
What did you feel like when you finished your program in the UK and you came home? Did you get the sense that people knew you had studied abroad? Could they see something different in you? Was there something that you thought was difficult or challenging about coming back to China that may not have been the case if you'd just gone to graduate school in China?
I think that's really a pain point we need to discuss here.
Tell me.
Yeah, because when you went to UK, you feel like you are a postgraduate graduating from abroad. You feel like sense of pride before you go. But when you arrive in UK, you find so many Chinese students around you, and sometimes you feel like a little bit frustrated. Why why there are so many Chinese students around you feel like you are still in China, not UK.
Got it.
Yeah, but when you get back, that's the really challenging part, because nowadays more and more Chinese students are going abroad to study, to work, etc. So when you get back, it's not an advantage anymore, because it's just like you went to university, you got your undergraduate degree. It's nothing like everyone has. But I think it's a little bit advantage, because you came to learn different people, different cultures. It's a good for your personal development. But in terms of job hunting, I think nowadays in China, it's no longer a really great advantage anymore.
But do you think it's a disadvantage at all? In other words, do you think that spending a year outside of China, that the students that actually don't have to go through that process of coming home and reconnecting maybe to people that they were away from for a year or sometimes 2 years, depending on what type of program they attended overseas. You know, it almost reminds me of when I was at Morgan Stanley back in 1987, 1988, and I asked one of the senior executives there, should I go get an MBA? And one of the things he said to me was, if you leave now, someone's going to come in and replace you. And in 2 years, when you try to come back, they'll be 2 years ahead of you in their job. And I'm just wondering if you got the sense that that was the case too when you came back, if you did, and I haven't asked yet, but if you applied for a job, was part of the reaction that, well, you've been away for 2 years, and while you've been away, everybody else has been acclimating themselves to working in China, to being, you know, associated and creating links and creating a network, and you were away for 2 years. Did you get a sense that that made it more difficult for you?
Yeah. I understand what you were talking about. Actually, for me, it's not the case, because I didn't went to work after an undergraduate.
Right.
I went to postgraduate directly.
So right away.
For me, it's not a problem of replacement. But yes, I think it's really a serious question here, is particularly in China when the competition is so fierce.
Right.
And yeah, so I think it's a good question to think both sides, because on one side, it is true. If you went abroad for a gap year to study or something, you lose the chance. Everyone else can replace you. But on the other side, if the work does not really satisfy you, or you don't really like the work, it's also a good chance to take a break and also to switch, to change to another direction, which is also quite acceptable in China nowadays. So I think there are two sides to this question, actually.
So what would you say to somebody who says to you, Young, I want to think about going to California to study for my master's in marketing, or I want to go to France, or I want to go to the UK to do this? Would you advise them that you think it's a good idea, a bad idea, or would you to say what you just said to me, that you just think it's mixed?
Yes, I think it's mixed. Basically, based on what you are pursuing in China, because in China, we got some I would call special mechanism here. For example, if you are working for some more open industry, for example, like marketing, like the internet industry, and also for some financial industry, I think it's good to go abroad. But it totally based on your personal status when to go abroad. But I think it's worthwhile. In terms of some special industry in China, like the government, like some government-owned company or state-owned company, there the mechanism is totally different. So I think it won't really help if you go abroad, but it really depends on which company you are. But basically, for a open industry, I think it's really good to go abroad. Just like you have more experience when you were young, you have more chance to learn, you have more chance to explore. I think for the long-term development, it's a worthwhile business.
Yeah, I think those are really interesting insights, actually. Yeah. So what do you do now? What's your job?
Actually, very interesting one. I just listened to your previous podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, very interesting one. I find some people from Texas, right?
Right.
Whether study or just born in Texas. Mm-hmm. And I'm also Texas, but I work at Texas Instruments.
That's so funny. And what do you do there?
I'm also doing marketing here for digital part. Yeah.
Okay. But that's interesting too. So you're working for, it's a U.S., I mean, a Chinese subsidiary of a U.S. company, or is it a very sort of local company that uses the Texas Instruments name, or is senior management from the United States? Like, how does that work? And did you choose to not work at a native Chinese company on purpose, or was it just something that happened?
Yeah, actually, there are two questions here. So
yes.
The first one, in terms of Texas Instrument, basically it's a company manufacturing chips, integrated chips.
Right.
So for this company, it's a very highly U.S. centralized company. So we will follow our U.S. strategy, and we will follow the worldwide strategy. So mostly in Texas Instrument, it's absolutely a foreign-owned company. But before I joined Texas Instrument, I also worked for Philips and Unilever. So they are quite different. They stand in B2C industry. So they are facing more fierce competition because they don't have any technical barrier to set them apart. So
right. They have no advantage, really. They have a brand, that's it. So they don't have a technical advantage like TI might have, right?
No, yeah. TI has a very strong technical advantage. So it still can be a very foreign-owned company. But
right.
For Philips and Unilever, although they are also a foreign-owned company, but due to the local competition, they have to make themselves more fast and more nimble to make sure they can take all the challenges from the local market, because the market is simply too fierce from the local competitors.
Right. Yeah, very interesting. So one more question and then I'll let you go. Can you tell when you meet somebody, particularly just after they've returned, whether if they've been studying abroad or not? In other words, are their mannerisms different? Is the way they talk different? Is their attitude different? Can you tell?
Actually, sometimes it's not easy to tell, because many Chinese students, when they go abroad, it's quite difficult to walk out of the comfort zone. So many people will still stay in the Chinese group. So when you stay throughout the year within all the Chinese people, you have very little chance to really get yourself exposed to the Western culture. And therefore, you can hardly tell the difference. But for some people, they are really willing to walk out, and you can see their mindsets different and their attitudes different. And also sometimes their some habits are different as well. So
right. That's what I wanted to know. And then finally, even though I said the previous question was the last question, I thought of something new.
Yeah, no worry. Yeah.
It's okay. What was the biggest challenge you had when you were there? Like, when you think about it, when you go back to the time that you were in the UK and you were studying and you just thought about it, what was the biggest challenge you had?
I think the biggest challenge for me at that time is really the deep cultural difference.
Right.
Because it's easy to learn the language, but it's really difficult to really understand their culture. Where, how do people in UK grow up? What's the topic they like? And that's the most challenging part for me.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Look, this has been a really great conversation. Hopefully this will not be the last time that you and I chat, but I really want to thank you for your time. I know it's later where you are than where I am. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Thank you.